As I was writing this sermon, somewhere along the line, I kind of realized that Dennis is like a fine wine, right? He's getting better with age, better all the time. But when you go wine tasting, you know, there's lots of places you do that around here. In between, you get like a cheese or a cracker or something to cleanse your palate, you know? So he's the fine wine, and I'm going to cleanse the palate today so you can enjoy him more when he comes back, okay? Maybe. Okay. Thank you. Today we're going to be looking at the book of James, chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1207, talking about what we desire, what we are pursuing, our heart's desire. I'm just going to pray real quick before we begin. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for this time of year when we celebrate the beauty of what you did through your Son, the love you have for us. I thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship you today, to learn about you. I pray that you would be with me and that my words would be what you would have me to say, that you would give us soft hearts today, God, that we could receive your words with humility and let it work in us and change our lives. I pray it would be an encouragement to each other as we are here, that we could just build each other up in the time we have, and that we would go from this place just filled and renewed and just rejoicing in the love you have for us. Amen. I'm going to read through it all first, and then we'll go back and look at it in depth. This is verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. It's these two different men, two positions in life, this lowly brother and this rich one. It's talking about wealth, both monetary wealth here on earth, but also another kind of wealth. And the key of it all is the end, in the midst of his pursuits. So you have this rich man, and he's going to fade away in the midst of his pursuits, like a flower fades away. Suddenly, it's just gone. So he's pursuing the things of earth. He's pursuing, ultimately, himself. He's choosing to walk this path that he's just doing whatever he wants. He's pursuing whatever he wants, the earthly wealth of life. And the lowly brother, while he is not rich in the things of earth, he's rich in the lasting things of heaven. He's pursuing a path that leads to God and a relationship with God. And he can rejoice in that because in God's kingdom, there's equality between everyone. You're not going to take your poverty with you when you go to heaven. You're not going to take your riches with you when you go to heaven. You'll be equal because we're equally sought after and loved by God. We're all equal, men and women, rich and poor, the young and the old. But we shouldn't let our earthly wealth or our earthly situation distract us from our pursuit of God. We shouldn't be pursuing earthly things and fade away in that. We should pursue God. It does not mean we should be lazy and be a poor steward of what we have. Whether you are lowly or rich, we should steward the things God has given us well, because everything we have is from Him. But when we are distracted by our wealth, it leads us away from God. The rich young ruler desired eternal life, and he'd been doing everything he thought he needed to. But when he was faced with the choice of humbling himself so that he could pursue God instead of going after his wealth and ultimately himself, he could have humbled himself and pursued Christ and a relationship with God that would lead to his eternal life. At the end of that story, Christ talks about how much more, if he had just humbled himself, would he have received our redemption we have in Christ, the reconciliation, the forgiveness, the love of God, the forgiveness of God that he offers through what Christ has done for each one of us on the cross. But he was too concerned with his earthly riches, and instead he was a poor man in the things that mattered, in the heavenly things. So we have to be careful and think about what are we pursuing. Because it's important. Because if we pursue ourselves, it leads to our death. We fade away. But if we pursue God and a relationship with Him, it leads to heavenly riches, to eternal life, to all these good, good things. So what are we pursuing? In verses 12 through 15, it's the same idea, just talked about in a different way. There's still these two options, these two paths, two choices. One that leads to life and one that leads to death. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. This is the path of life. The path of remaining steadfast in this life. Because in the beginning of this book, in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. It's a guarantee that we will have trials in life. But because of our love for God, we can remain steadfast. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have love for Him, there's no reason. You have no motivation to resist temptation, to remain steadfast under trial. You'll be like the rich young ruler, and you'll just pursue yourself and your earthly wealth. But because of love for God, it is both what motivates you and allows you to remain steadfast. Christ said, after talking to the rich young ruler, in order to get to heaven, it's impossible on your own. You can't do it on your own. But with God, it is possible. A relationship with God. And it's not the man, it's not because of the works that we do. It's because of God's love for us. He loves us and gave us the opportunity to become forgiven and to receive this heavenly wealth. Not because of what we do, but what we do is like a proof of our love. Not the thing that earns us God's love, but the thing that proves our relationship with Him. The other path, the one that leads to death, is verse 13 and 15. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. It's our own desire that lures us and entices us away from God and from a pursuit of Him. When our desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth our death. So we have trials that we can remain steadfast under, and we have temptation and desire that lures us to our death. God uses the trials to bring life to us, and our desire tempts us and lures us to our death. When we're tried and we're tested, we have to remain steadfast. God works through it to bring about our perfection, to bring about more Christ-likeness in us. And our temptation, our desire for not God, for these things that are of us, ultimately lead to our death. When my dad died, he had like a mountain of fishing gear. And this last Thanksgiving, it all got divided up between me and my brothers. And so I got this big bin and this big tackle box. And it's got like a million lures in it. Okay, more than I'll ever need. But they're all these different little flies, right? These different things you use for different situations. So our temptation, our desire is like that. You can be going this way, walking toward God and life, and here's this little lure, this little desire. It looks good. It promises maybe something good. But if we're not careful and we don't recognize it as a desire, if we let it pull us away from our pursuit of God, then that desire becomes sin. Because not all desire is sin and is evil. The longer the sermon goes, maybe the hungrier you get. You may desire to eat lunch and be satisfied. And that's not sin. But if you let your desire, if you're going this way toward a pursuit of God, and here's the little lure of desire, and you let it distract you and lead you this way, it is sin and it leads to our death. And we have to admit, it's important to admit, this is not from God. It's not God's fault I am being tempted by evil and by sin. It's from my own evil heart. Can't play the blame game. The first people ever that sinned, immediately, God confronts them about it. And Adam says, "This woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit." Right? Was Eve like force-feeding Adam, you know? He chose ultimately what to do. And the same with Eve. She blames the serpent for deceiving her. But ultimately, she chose to sin and to disobey God. But if you turn a few pages over to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we've been lured, and if we take an honest look at our life and we are going this way toward our own desire, toward death, if we confess that and we admit that to God and we repent and turn the other way, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And you're not going to get that offer, I don't think, from any other person ever, that every time He's faithful and just to forgive you. He's faithful and just. Because we are lured all the time, and we fail, but if we admit to God our mistake, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And the next set of verses, number 16, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. the very beginning, don't be deceived, is talking about the lie that when we're tempted, we want to blame God. Why would a just loving God allow evil in the world? Why am I going through this? Is God even with me in this? Does he care about me? It seemed like yesterday he loved me and today he's against me. The deception is that God is not good. And that is a lie. God is good. The deception is that he brings this evil into our life. He tempts us with sin that would lead to our death. But in fact, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Anything good in your life, your health, your wealth, your possessions, your job, your family, you name it, fill in the blank. Anything good in your life is from God. He's brought it to you. He does not tempt you with evil. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is a solid rock. Even the things we have, the lights we have in the world that he created, the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? You go out at night and you look at the stars, they're so beautiful, but they are moving all the time. Maybe they're fixed in their place, but they're not steady. Even the moon goes through phases and changes. The sun changes where it is on the horizon and how much daylight. A cloud comes and you can't see it anymore. Our life is filled with inconsistency, with these shifting shadows. But the Father of lights, who brings all good and all perfect things, he is consistent and steady and sure. He does not change ever. He loved you before he created the world and had a plan for you. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. By God's will, you are here today. He desired for you to be here. And he, in his plan, he wanted you here. You're a part of it. It's not random or chance. It's a plan by the most solid, consistent person that there ever will be. Amen. Of his own will, he brought us forth. The brought us forth is the same word that's used in verse 15, desire, when it has conceived, gives birth. He brought us forth, and our desire gives birth. What we desire gives birth to death. Our wants and our selfish pursuit brings about our death. But God, we can be born again through what Christ has done. He's brought us forth by the word of truth to be a kind of first fruit. You can be born again through what Christ has done for us on the cross. Instead of death through our desire, we can have life in Christ. But we have a choice today, because we have, it's not really a fork in the road. It's like one trail. You're either walking this way or you're walking this way. And one way leads to life and God and goodness, and the other way is selfishness and death, ultimately. So we have to choose every day, every moment maybe, we have to choose to pursue the lasting wealth, the heavenly riches. Be humble, not like the rich young ruler who couldn't give up his own desire, but we have to be humble. Oops. We have to look at our hearts. What do we desire? Is it life in Christ, or is it ultimately our death through our selfish things? And we should not wait until tomorrow or next year to do this. We should do it today. Go home today and get a piece of paper and write down what you think it is you desire, what you're pursuing. Where are you putting your effort, your time, your thoughts, your money? What do we desire? And ask the people in your life. Ask them to be gentle with you, because it's hard to hear. Other people have a good perspective of us. But write it down. What am I pursuing, and what should I be pursuing? You should pursue life in Christ, the heavenly riches. So today, let's choose to desire God. Please pray with me. God, thank you for today, for this opportunity to gather here with your people. I thank you for the word you have given us, that it is true, that it is unchanging, God, that you give us everything we need to know in it. I pray as we go out from here, as we face the day and face the new year, that you would help us to remain steadfast as the trials of life come our way. That we would not succumb to our own desire and be led to death, but that we would pursue you, that we would remain steadfast in our pursuit of you. I pray you would give us all we need to do that. Surround us with brothers and with sisters to encourage us and to lift us up. Lord, I pray as we sing that our worship would be pleasing to you. And I just thank you for the love you have for us, and that you did send your son to die for us, and that he is coming again. In your name we pray. Amen.